Go get it. Go get it. Turn and run. Turn and run. Turn and run.
The Rodney Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 until you get out of here, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rodney Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
Well, good evening and welcome in. It is our latest installment on a Monday night of the Head Coach Raheem Morris Show. 6-3 are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after a 31-16 victory over the Carolina Panthers. Season sweep of Carolina for the first time since 2002. We say good evening and congratulations to the head coach. Hello, sir.
How you doing tonight?
I don't think I'm doing as well as you. You are. You got to be feeling good right now with where your team sits and how you've bounced back yet again after a defeat with a victory at home yesterday.
It has been a nice job of, the guys bouncing back. Really being impossible to ignore. Really, going out and disarming all our detractors, and really trying to handle that with ourselves and being an unselfish football team and playing together. It's been nice.
So much to cover about this game yesterday. A lot of highlight plays, certainly a lot of scoring. And then obviously we're going to take some phone calls and then we'll move ahead and talk about the San Francisco 49ers at the end of the show. One thing that I kept emphasizing this on the postgame show, I keep thinking about last night and today. This script was different than the previous wins in that you got up, which I know any head coach in any sport wants to be up and in control as opposed to having to rally and come from behind. But yesterday you were up, you were in control in the first half, and you stayed in control for the most part throughout the football game and then eventually put it away. So it was a different script yesterday.
No, it was nice. It was a different script for us. We had a couple of fourth quarter comebacks with Josh, and what we were able to do yesterday was come out and really gain the lead, started fast on defense, got to force the fumble. I got the ball back and was able to score with our offense right there, with converting there and scoring with Regis Ben and really being ahead and having control of the football game. And then the lesson was how to keep it and how to maintain it throughout the game and how to play well and finish. So that's where we were.
All right, so let's get to that specific start. They took the opening kickoff, started to move the ball, and Gerald McCoy gets a hand in there and knocks it loose, and Sean Jones falls on it. There was a splash play right away from your defense.
It really did. They came out, they ran the ball twice. They were able to get to a third and two and able to run the ball again and pick up a third and two there. But we get a big-time first down play by Gerald. Actually happened on the second, but he forces a fumble. He penetrates in the backfield, causes disruption like the three technique is supposed to do, and he forces a fumble. He puts the ball on the ground, and right away Sean Jay jumps on top of him and capitalizes.
And the one thing, speaking of the word capitalize, is you've been able to do this on a lot of occasions. You capitalize on that turnover, and right away you're hitting John Gilmore down the middle of the field for a 29-yard completion. Let's stop right there. Gilmore had three catches. I don't know if you know this stat. Had three catches all of last season. He had three catches yesterday. Was there something that you saw on film that told you, hey, they're gonna let John Gilmore have some opportunities on Sunday?
No, I won't take credit for that. I give the credit to Josh. Josh found the open receiver. What really happens with things when that happen is our running game started to open up our passing game, and we got Blunt going. We got Blunt going, able to run the football, the last couple of weeks, and we went to a play action pass, and he came out in a bootleg, and Gilmore was wide open and delivered the football, and Gilmore can catch.
Yes, he can, and he did some things after the catch, too. Got about 15 more yards after the catch and set you up with a first and 10 at the Carolina 13. You hit him with a 5-yard run and then the touchdown to Aurelius Ben. Now, again, I just observed these things, but that kind of looked similar to the reverse that you have run him in the past where you kind of put him in motion, but you didn't reverse it to him, but then you're looking for him in the left flat. Am I kind of on the right track there?
Yeah, you're on the right track. He has some of those things we have in his package where we zen him down in there, and he's able to go in a reverse and either receive a reverse or fake one, get a ghost. Sometimes he comes across the line of scrimmage, he's able to deliver a block, and this time he's able to fake a block and slip out to the flat, and Josh able to hit him in stride. He makes a great play to get to the end zone. To put that ball across the corner pylon.
And again, your team gets up there at 7-0 and now starts to play with some confidence on the defensive side. You're able to stop them a couple of times, but eventually they move down, they get a field goal. It's a 7-3 game late in the first quarter, and then you start a march at your own 25-yard line, and a lot of that march is LeGarrette Blount, number 27, putting the hammer down. In fact, it was all running the football on that drive that started the second quarter and got you up 14-3.
We kind of let the brakes off a little bit there. We had a bad punt that went out of bounds and gave them great field position. They were able to come down to get three and capitalize there. But, we got it back on track, and we were able to get the ball and start running the football a little bit with LeGarrette Blount and our offensive line and those young guys, playing mean and nasty and really, you know, controlling up front, you know, what you like to do in a football game, and we're able to capitalize on, you know, the spectacular run from Blunt that you're probably going to talk about yourself.
Let's talk about it right now. You got a 17-yarder from him to get you to the 17, and then the second 17-yarder is the touchdown from the 17-yard line where he breaks a tackle, is heading to the goal line. There's a Carolina defender there at about the 2, and he just goes up and over again. Again, you've had a chance now to watch that several times on tape. Tell me more about it.
I could tell you up to the part we did that thing in the air, and, you know, the triple Lindy, as our guys like to call it here, you know, from my man, back to school, but I can't take credit for the coaching point on that jumping, twisting deal to get in the end zone. You know, it was just athletic play by a young man, and he continues to astonish us.
We're making references to bad Rodney Dangerfield movies now here on the Raheem Morris Show. But, you know, the remarkable thing is in the air, he has the presence of mind with the ball in his hand to know where the goal line is and be stretching the ball with the handout while in midair.
No, really athletic, you know, just a dynamic play. He found the end zone. He's big, he's fast, he's physical. You know, we've seen him jump a man, we've seen him try to jump a man, now we've seen him twist over one. So he's got it all. He's got the whole package.
All right, so it's 14-3 at this point, and you're slowing them down. You get them basically on a 3-and-out, and they punt the ball. And now comes kind of a controversial, from a Tampa Bay point of view, play where the ball ends up hitting Elbert Mack. On the play, it was rather obvious. We talked about this on the radio broadcast, that he was being dragged into the ball by the Carolina player, by the gunner there on the outside. The ball touches him on the back. It's a live ball. Carolina recovers, and it really gave them some life and some momentum there in that moment.
No, it did. You know, when they say that we get together, and once you get together, once, you know, two guys are entangled and they're fighting, you know, whether you're trying to get away or whether the guy pulled them into him or not, really didn't matter. It's just a matter of whether those guys see it as being pushed into the ball or two guys engaged and the ball hit them. So they would have seen that as two guys being engaged and the ball hitting him, and it would have been their ball. So it was, you know, it was challengeable, but not winnable. So, you know, we took our medicine there, and we moved on, and they were able to gain some advantage because that's a turnover. You know, but the thing we stressed with our defense today, we talked about, you know, capitalizing and coming up big in those spots. Mm-hmm. And that's what a great defense is built. You know, if we came up big there and held them to 3, like we were able to do in the second half, which we'll talk about later, those are the things that keep game and, you know, far apart and keep people in distance.
They are able to get down inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, and eventually punch it in with one of their backup running backs, Josh Vaughn, taking it. They had some success in the first half of this game running the ball. Again, having the luxury now of having digested it for 24 hours. What were they doing? What were you not doing well enough when they were able to get some yardage running the ball, Coach?
You know, these guys, just they run the ball well. That's what they do. They run the same plays over and over again. They're consistent. They block them well. They do a great job. They get you to break a couple tackles, and they take advantage of the opportunities. And that's all they were doing. Nothing extravagant, nothing different. We were completely okay with what was going on because they weren't able to get to the end zone. They weren't able to change field position. And we were able to stop them, you know, until they got the muff punt, which set them up for a touchdown. And, you know, we're not a finished product yet, and we know that. And we'll get better and better as we go.
All right, so then the touchdown makes the game 14-10. There's a change of possessions. You punt the ball away, but they also punt the ball away. And then that leads to a touchdown march from your team where you're able to get out of your own end. A couple of completions to Kellen Winslow help you do that. And then you find Mike Williams over the middle to help you get into scoring range. And then that sets up the touchdown pass eventually to Cadillac Williams there in the 2-minute drill in the final minute of the half. And, Kellen Winslow comes up with the catch, and it's now 21-10. You get the touchdown right back there right before halftime.
Yeah, that was a beautiful drive by our offense. You know, well executed by our quarterback, well executed by everybody involved. You know, Mike Williams had a big catch. We were able to get a couple runs there. We were able to do a couple of different things. We converted a couple third downs. And we get all the way down there, you know, into our scoring zone, and we got control of the ball. We got all our timeouts, and we're managing the clock. And, you know, Freeman rips off a strike to Kellen Winslow with a great catch in between two defenders, you know, very Kellen-like. And we've seen it a lot in practice. We've seen it in games, and he makes amazing catches every week, it seems like.
Yeah, Josh said after the game, he's got the best hands in the NFL. I mean, he was propping up his guy there. And on a play like that with John Beeson, who's a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker, hanging off of him and a DB hanging off of him, they threw the flag for interference. He still comes up with the ball.
He finds a way to catch the ball. He's amazing. You know, he has big hands. He has, you know, strong hands, and he loves competing for the football. That's why Josh will give him those opportunities to do that amongst people.
He came over to the sideline. I don't know if you saw this at the time or if you've seen a highlight or whatever. You may have seen it. It was over near you where he kind of motioned to the crowd with the arms out, and then he pointed to an imaginary watch and said, "It's about time," and everybody went crazy on that. I mean, it was kind of a fun moment for him over there. I know he was relieved to get his first touchdown of the year.
It's Kellen enjoying his fans, man. You know, nobody can do it like Kellen. You know, he's one of the guys that's on our football team that is kind of a big deal. You know, he's kind of a show. We love that about him. He brings that energy to us. We talked about it last year. You know, him having the ability to hurt us when it goes out of control. You know, but times like that and what he's been able to do this year has been nothing but helpful. He energizes us. He provides sparks. And when he's having a game like he's having yesterday, that's the Kellen. That's the K2 that we love.
All right, so 21-10 is the score at halftime. We're going to come back. We're going to talk second half. We're also going to take your phone calls. We will talk San Francisco 49ers before we are done as well. We're here on Monday nights with the head coach, Raheem Morris, and we will be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Raheem Morris Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, here are Coach Morris and DJ Reeves.
Back in on a Monday night, we will be taking your calls coming up. Jump aboard, 990-4620 if you're in Tampa. If you're in St. Pete, Clearwater, 461-4620, anywhere outside of the immediate area. And we have had some from around the globe, not only around the country. We had Athens, Greece a couple of weeks ago as well. 1-800-596-BUCKS, anywhere that you can hear the show. 1-800-596-2827 if you're listening on the Internet or however you're accessing the show. Call us up, and we'll take your comments, and we will talk San Francisco 49ers later on in the program. So when we left off 21-10 at the half, I talked to you going to the locker room, and you kept saying the word consistency. You were looking for consistency as a theme. That was the message to the team, obviously, at intermission?
Yes. You know, we had a couple penalties on offense, and that's part of not being consistent. That's part of not doing your job every single time. We had a couple, false starts or before the snap type of penalties. And those are things that we can clean up on offense, even though we were having a good day moving the football. And then on defense, on third down, we were allowing guys to maintain possession and keep the ball. So those are some of the things we had to clean up. We gave up a couple, chances that we had there. We had a plan to go in there to make them beat us in man-to-man coverages. And he was able to beat us a couple times. I think it was about three or four there in the first half. Really, we could have got off the field and limited them to an even better number than what we had at halftime, and maybe have even a bigger lead than what we had at halftime, and put ourselves in better position. So we had to go back into the halftime and really talk about being consistent and doing the things the right way, and absolutely going out in the second half and coming out and playing better.
Well, you come out in the second half, and unfortunately there were some mistakes in the third quarter. You had a couple of penalties. You overcome it with a 28-yard pass where Mike Williams, it's more of a catch and run, gets you set up right around midfield. And then unfortunately on the very next play after that, you had a fumble situation there with LeGarrette Blount. Again, you've had time to analyze that play there. Is it just a bad exchange? Did LeGarrette Blount just not get the handoff? What happened on that play?
Really it wasn't hit. It was nothing. It was a bad exchange. The ball never got in his hands, and he kind of bobbled it and dropped it on the ground, and you just can't do that. And that put us in a bad situation on defense, but it was a great response by the defense. It was a great lesson for your team. Talking about what happened in the first half at halftime helped us coming out in the second half. It allowed you to remain unwavered. It allowed those guys to respond in that situation to come out and hold Carolina from scoring a touchdown and getting this thing closer.
Yeah, and we saw a couple of more instances. I mean, eventually they had to punt on that drive. You eventually punt the ball. They come back and are able to make a couple of plays and get a field goal. You had some mistakes, though, special teams or whatever, but you were holding them to field goals is my point. They didn't get in the end zone. They got within a one-score game, but they only got two field goals there in the third quarter, where a touchdown would have made it a much more difficult situation.
Yeah, I think that's major. That's a major part of what you have to do. It's a major part of what goes on. They hit a big play right there for Steve Smith and really crossed the line of scrimmage, but we're able to hold up right after that big play to Steve, which is going to happen when you're playing this guy, a kind of guy like that and that kind of caliber. But you're able to hold up right after that and really throw in the brakes and hold them to a field goal, which is important, especially at this point in the game.
Yeah, so they got two field goals. It ends up being a 21-16 game going to the fourth quarter. You had possession to start the fourth quarter, and a very important drive takes place to start the fourth quarter where you're able to move the ball and get some points. It ends up being a field goal, but it's a very impressive, time-consuming drive. Let your defense rest a little bit with the change of quarters, and you're able to get points out of that drive.
Huge drive. These guys were able to come out and move the ball down the field, and Josh does a great job with time management. We still have a couple mistakes that we're able to, overcome, so to speak. We had an illegal shift. We had an illegal formation that was declined. Some of those little things that hurt you. But we get in field goal position, and we're able to set ourselves up for a field goal, which was major, which was huge in the game and where we're going to make it a two-score game.
All right, before we move on this, I'm curious because the officials usually will come over and explain things to you. I understood on one of the illegal shifts where Michael Spurlock, I believe, was in motion at the same time Cadillac Williams was moving because he was trying to get set up to block. I understand two men moving there. Later on in the half, and it may have been in this drive, it may have been a little bit later on, they said that the offensive line got down in their stance and then a man went in motion. It looked to me like the offensive line was set. What was the explanation over there on the offensive line moving, then a guy going in motion being double motion, illegal shift?
Well, the first one was a protection issue. Josh started his motion too early. When they were coming back, him and Cadillac, to get set. And so you got two guys moving at the same time. So that was the problem, which you just mentioned. The other one that you're talking about here, we started a motion across, and the O-line got into the three-point stance, and they got down and were set. But when you started the motion, he has to stop and reestablish position in order to stamp that play, and we did not get that accomplished. So those are some of the little things from a young football team that we can learn to get better from. Without those penalties, we amassed a lot of offense yesterday. We do some really positive things.
Right.
And everybody's really happy today. But, again, you're glad these things can come across with a win. And you can go back and correct them and get your young team to understand how they can get better. And I think I had a chance to do that today with my team.
So it's interesting because when it's a teachable moment here, in that instance, was Spurlock starting or whoever it was too soon on that before the three-point stance? Or is that something where he has to look and see, okay, wait a minute, they just went in the three-point stance, I've got to stop, or it's a penalty?
It's just a matter of everything. It's a matter of tempo for the offense, getting to your stance earlier and a little more decisive to give Josh more time to set the motion across. And it's a matter of Spurlock coming across, maybe realizing helping himself out there as well. But at the same time, we all got to do a better job of getting that done, and we can do that in practice. We can do that with the officials we bring to practice. We can do that at simulation through our walkthroughs or whatever the case may be. But it's something that I know that we can look at and be more detailed for this week and help ourselves out.
And give the fans an idea, because you've been working on this off-season, OTAs, training camp. There is a lot of involved work on when to start the motion, work on when. I mean, it is not something that you just start working on, for example, in August during training camp. You're installing the offense. You're installing the motion plays, and this guy starts now, and then he sets. Or we saw several times yesterday where everybody's kind of lined up in a different position, and suddenly they move. That's stuff you're working on year-round, right, fundamentally?
Yes. Coach Olsen and myself, we don't want to be a stagnant offense. We want to have the ability to have moving parts and be able to put people in different spots to set people up for different type of plays. And also to cause some confusion for the defense. In order to do that, though, you have to do it the correct way. So that's stuff that we've been working on all along. And we've done a pretty good job of it throughout the year and really have been emphasizing it throughout the year because we have so many young football players. But you got to get better, and we will get better. And it's a part of our process. It's a part of the learning curve. And these guys are doing a nice job of really doing some of these things to get themselves open. The big plays you're seeing down the field from some of Mike Williams and Aurelius Benz and some of the big-time runs that happen are being set up by shifts and motions and different types of ways that – Coach Olsen can get us out there. Yesterday he had a little wildcat and had a little chicanery and tabacry on that occasion where Free has to know he has to be on the sideline. You can't have 12 guys in the huddle. We have to move it. We have to get them in there so they don't recognize Josh going in so he can run his play so they don't get set for their defense. There's a bunch of different things that go on an offense standpoint that you have to be detailed on. And they do a great job on the offensive staff of getting that stuff together. Yesterday we had a little bit of a breakdown on some of those things, and we got to get better.
It's interesting because I've heard other coaches talk about this, and John Gruden used to do this with that shift with multiple personnel, and he would tell us, and I know that you're echoing this right now, you can tell what kind of defense they're in according to how they move when your guys move. In some cases, it's being done to help Josh Freeman recognize, are they playing man? What's the coverage going to be? Because when those guys all move around, the defenders have to move around with them.
Right. Offensive coordinators do a great job of, either creating deception, a la the Saints, probably one of the better teams out in the league, or creating deception with their cadence, which a la the Saints, with some things that they do. Talking about one of the better offenses we know. We all know about, Peyton. We just happen to see the Saints a lot more in this division. But, Josh is, starting to become that, and he's starting to, want to be that guy, and he's starting to come up and use fake dummy signals and come up and use shifts and motions and different types of scatters and things of that nature to break down shells of defense, to break down the integrity of defense. So he knows before the snaps, so he can go through his pre-snap reads, where and how fast he can deliver the football and be as efficient as he can.
Well, that's just that's showing maturity at an advanced stage here for a second-year guy to be picking up on that kind of stuff and be helped out. All right, so back to the game here. It's 24-16 after the field goal. And, again, you get a big stop here. They've got the ball with 10 minutes to go. It's a one-score game, and your defense finally holds them on a third and long situation. You put some great pressure on Jimmy Clausen in the second half and in the fourth quarter, and in this case got off the field like you've been talking to us for the last couple of weeks, forced them to punt it away.
Yeah, guys did a nice job, you know, of coming out in the second half and really executing and really, you know, trying to get after the guy. You know, we had two sacks, but we had a couple of times when we forced them out of the pocket to either a minimum scramble or we forced them out of the pocket to a throwaway. And all that stuff counts for us. All that stuff is major. You know, it's all about getting off on third down. I consistently keep saying this, but if we can force long third downs and we get a chance to get off, that's what we want to do.
All right, so you get the ball back after the punt. There's 6 minutes to go in the game. You're up 24-16. This is a chance to basically kill the clock if you can. If you can put two or three first downs together, you can all but kill the clock. And there's a humongous play that's made in your own end on a third and 15. You get a penalty for holding. It's third and 15, and you hit Cadillac Williams with a screen pass. And some of it's the play call. Some of it is number 24 making extra effort to get the last 3 or 4 yards and get the first down there.
Yeah, it was so much involved in that play. You know, I can't even talk about it. You know, Carolina had a third and 15. They went to a zero blitz, which is an all-out pressure, which everybody's coming at Josh. He steps to the line. We have a great play call in the huddle with the screen, obviously, that you guys seen. He steps up to the line to get a fake dummy count to hopefully get them out of the all-out blitz so they don't run right into our screen. They don't come out of the all-out blitz. They stay in it. He backs up. He drifts just slightly. Cadillac fakes a block, turns around. He hits him in stride, and Cadillac turns and makes a great effort at the end of that play to get the first down and to keep the chains moving. You know, really, we prepare right there to punt and get ready to play defense and make Clausen beat us and at the end of this game. And that's where our mindset was, but until we got the great play and the fanatic play from
and Cadillac
Williams.
He had to kind of lob it over the top of a couple of blitzers on that play because they're
everybody
coming. I mean, it was a tremendous effort all the way around to be able to get that done.
You know, it was a great job by the offensive line picking up the guys that they can, and the guys that they couldn't pick up was a great job by Freeman of drifting a little bit and throwing over top of their head so we can complete that pass and run.
And Cadillac, again, picks up the first down there. It keeps the clock rolling, and you're able to pound them with LeGarrette Blount with a run for another first down. They start burning timeouts, and now here comes a fun one. And by the way, we're going to have Cadillac in here on the Total Access show after we're done. But there was a fun huddle on the 3rd and 11 play. Josh Freeman telling us after the game that everybody was kind of stepping up, wanting the ball. Mike Williams was saying, I'm open over the middle, hit me on this one. Cadillac saying, no, I'm going to take this run to the house, is what he was saying in the huddle. The guys in the huddle were talking about this. 3rd and 11 play, and sure enough, Cadillac Williams gets a crease and is gone to basically clinch the game.
You know, well, what's happening on our football team is you got LeGarrette Blount having 19 carries for 91 yards and Cadillac with 5 carries for 62 yards and Kellen Winslow with 6 catches for 65, Mike Williams with 4 for 68, John Gilmore with 3 for 52, Regis Benn with 2 for 29. When you had that kind of, you know, the ball moving around, you know, from this point guard, so to speak, and Josh Freeman, everybody wants it. And everybody wants to make that play. And you got to make a decision who you want to go with. And we chose to run the football with Cadillac in the situation again, because our mindset was to play defense and make Jimmy Clausen go the whole length of the field and score on us and win. But Cadillac, again, as soon as they called his number, he said, I'll see you guys in the end zone. He called his own self, and all the guys couldn't wait to come off the sideline and tell us that he called it. So
saw a couple of great blocks. Looked like Ted Larson came around from left guard and got a great block, and somebody down the field, it may have been Gilmore, had a linebacker tied up, and then Cadillac had a crease and did the rest.
Actually, Preston Parker went there and found the nickel corner. You know, we've seen Larson come around the pull. You've seen Regis Benn and Mike Williams make great efforts, you know, down the field, especially Regis Benn, you know, kind of holding off defenders so Cadillac can use the speed and get out of there. And whenever you see receivers chasing a running back like that with that kind of effort, you know you got something brewing at receiver, man. It's one thing to have blockers at receiver, but it's another thing to have willing blockers, and we certainly have willing blockers.
You know, I mentioned this to you after the Rams game when Cadillac caught the game-winning touchdown. You feel great for everybody when they do well. But this guy on two rebuilt knees, there's a lot of stuff out there in the media, fans, talk shows, whatever, about does Cadillac still have a burst? When you see a play like that, you have to feel great for Cadillac. Well, I'm just talking in general, not just you. You have to feel great for Cadillac Williams because that was an explosive, big-time play, second longest touchdown run of his career.
For me, it's just you know, detracting the detractors, you know, and doing a great job of doing that with these guys. And for Cadillac, it's awesome, you know, especially to how it happens, when it happens. It's so easy to be negative on a football team, and I refuse to let people tear down what we have going on because of any certain situation that they may want or any certain egos that they may want to put ahead of this football team. And Cadillac certainly hasn't done that and is showing up from week to week with his game-winning touchdown catches or game-winning touchdown runs or game-winning touchdown screen passes or whatever the case may be with the block or whatever he's happening. He's just becoming the ultimate unselfish guy that we should all respect and learn to love in this league.
No doubt about that. All right, so that makes the game 31-16. The one thing is Carolina still has a little bit of life at this point because they're now going to have the opportunity to try to go get points. They drive down the field. There are a couple of penalties that put them into scoring range, and then comes a goal line stand inside the five-yard line. They had a couple of plays where they tried to throw one to David Clowney. They tried a short pass where you stop them. They have no timeout left. The clock is rolling. They try a quarterback sneak. You stop that. It's reviewed. It's now fourth and one with the clock rolling. They try the quarterback sneak. You stop it again, get off the field, and it's basically game over.
You know, for us, we're completely in bend but don't break defense at that point. If you don't allow two quick touchdowns, you make them drive the length of the field and take up all the time. There's no way they can win the football game, and that's our mindset. You know, we're not going to be selfish and greedy and go out there and say, hey, we want to hold them to this or stop them to this and don't let them get this many yards passing. You know, I say it all the time, stature for losers. And how you win the football game right there is let them complete the ball in front of you, tackle them. They get the penalty on Cody, you know, for the illegal hit. We get a sack by Rondé. They're able to move the ball down. They get another penalty on Aqib for a pass interference. They're on the four-yard line. We sit there, play zone. They throw the ball in front of us. We tackle them. They try to run two sneaks in a row. We stop them at the goal line.
I was going to say, that was some attitude down there on the goal line. They were trying to sneak it right through the middle, and both times your guys stood tall.
That's tough, man. Down there, it's tough man business. And you go in there with the sneak, and everybody's got to go play, and you keep playing until that whistle blows. You know, and it's just how it goes, man, down that way.
And in the end, 31-16 ends up being the final as you're able to run the clock out. Tell me about the locker room after the game here.
You know, it was good. You know, I was able to come in. It was calm. You know, it was one of the situations where it was such a moment of, all right, guys, we're 6-3. We got a lot to learn from. We got a lot of lessons to learn. We had too many penalties on offense. On defense, we gave up a 100-yard rusher. We can get better there. So many things that we can get better from. We executed our game plan. Let's go out and stand up. Let's get ready to go to West Coast, short week, and get ready to play this game, man. And let's do what we got to do, man. And it's been awesome. It's been awesome. You know, we're trying to become the team that's impossible to ignore. And that's hopefully we can get that done.
Well, so far, you're on that route. You're on that track at 6-3 and definitely in the picture for the stretch run of the season. All right, when we get back, we're going to take your phone calls. 990-4620 in Hillsborough County. In Pinellas, 461-4620. Outside of the area, 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll take your calls, questions, comments for the head coach up next on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
And we're back in here on this Monday, 31-16. The final Bucs win over the Carolina Panthers, complete the season sweep in that matchup with Carolina. So your team now gets ready to move on to San Francisco. We'll talk about them in a little bit. For people just joining us, I always want to do this. Overall thought on the win, please.
You know, really excited. You know, you got a team that's becoming impossible to ignore. You know, you got an unselfish team that's playing, you know, with a playoff type of mentality, that's being patient, that's having perspective of each game, and really – I'm going out and executing great game plans and putting their work in and learning lessons from each win and each loss. And we have the ability to keep getting better, and it's a nice thing while you're winning.
And that's it's a good thing to be 6-3 right now for this football team and be in position at the end of November and December to be in the conversation for everything that's going to go down, including
especially with seven rookie starters yesterday. You know, and
people might hear that and might think, well, wait a minute. You know, they keep talking about seven rookies. You know, there aren't a lot of teams in the NFL that would start more than two or three rookies.
I don't know if there's a lot of rookies, seven rookies on a lot of teams. To be honest with you,
right?
You got to remember now we start in seven and we probably played 12 or so, and I'm not sure the exact number, but I'm sure we played a bunch more than that. And you know, and really, you know, these second-year players are playing big time too. So, it's nice.
Let's go to the phones. Here is Mark in Lakewood Ranch. He is up first with head coach Raheem Morris. Good evening, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott, and good afternoon, Coach Morris. What a great win going into the third quarter of the season.
Thank you.
It sounds like what you were saying earlier, you were putting the want to in the players.
Sure.
And manning up, and that equates to the end of the, or towards the end of the game when they man up on the line.
That's right.
Leads into my first question. I have two. Do you play chess?
Do you play
chess? I don't. I don't play chess at all. As a football coach, you don't get to have many hobbies.
You talking about when you were growing up, did you play chess?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Oh, I assumed wrong because you guys, you take chances because you want the checkmate or the win, and you're always four or five moves ahead.
What? We're trying to be, you know, that's what, you know, chess sounds like football. You know, you're trying to be, you know,
correct,
ahead of your time. You're trying to be ahead of, you know, what's going on in the football game. If you can have your way to do that, you got a chance to win games. And that's a part of what we talk about, a situation of football.
Super, super. My second question is, I have one stat that's not for losers, but it's one stat that's been concerning me since 2004 that you inherited, and that is our defense not getting out of third down. And I only could do the first half because She Who Must Be Obeyed had me doing stuff for the second half. But I had Carolina 11 out of 17. And going into a West Coast swing in San Francisco, that's something that's not been kind to us either. And what is it that you see that we need to try to turn that around?
Well, Mark,
it really concerns me at times.
Well, Mark,
third down.
It changes from week to week, Mark. You know, yesterday we had the plan to go out there and we really wanted to make Clawson beat us and play man-to-man coverages and do some things. And they actually came out and did a good job and got a couple wins with Mr. Clawson. He threw a couple good completions early on. You know, we ended the day 6 of 15 for 40%, which is not bad, which is actually ended up being a pretty good day in the second half. But we got to find a way to start games like that. You know, sometimes it's dealing with the rush, sometimes it's dealing with coverage, and sometimes dealing with scheme. You know, and what we've been having the last couple of weeks, you know, we wanted to win with coverage versus Arizona at times, and they were able to throw some balls in there and get some completions, and then you need your rush to get going and some other things of that nature. You know, yesterday we wanted to win with man-to-man coverages in the first half, single safeties, and we lost a couple of those battles, but in the second half we came out and won them. And we got to get more consistent effort and more consistent play right there, and you're exactly right. And that is one of the stats that I do care about along with you, and that's a major part because I believe getting off on third down, you know, everybody wants to talk about stopping the run, but getting off on third down helps that.
Yes, what I have liked that I liked in that game was what I felt that I was hearing is that we were getting a push on that line, even though it doesn't equate in sacks, but that was putting them out of what they wanted to do, almost giving them happy feet, and that was great to hear. So what a way to pick that up going into the 10th game of the season to have our young defensive line. And I have a question for the last one. I consider Freeman a rookie. So we basically –
All right, he's garbling on us, but he was saying, okay, Mark is garbling on us, but he was saying something about Freeman almost being like a rookie, but, I mean, he's playing for the second season, and he did play a lot of games at the end of last year, but he is showing maturity beyond just a second-year guy.
Yeah, Mark was breaking up there, so I couldn't hear him. I heard him say Freeman being like a rookie, but, you know, and there's no doubt about it, you know, but the work he's put in, you know, he's not playing like a rookie. He's playing, you know, well beyond his years, and he's doing a great job, And, you know, I just want to keep him going in the right direction and keep him going with great success, and that's what's happening for him.
All right, back to the phones. Demetrius in St. Pete is up next. Hello, Demetrius.
Hey, TJ, I didn't know you got your name changed to Scott.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure who Scott was, but we just rolled with it, brother. What's
Demetrius,
up?
You didn't have to call him out, Demetrius.
Oh, my bad. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I want to thank you, man. I was in the lobby the other day, and you came and talked to me. And then I had lunch with the team. The team, but you know who I am?
Yeah, I do, Demetrius. How you doing? We ran each other twice last week.
Yes, we did.
You just bought a suite.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Listen, Coach, two questions I'm asking you. The first question is, I noticed Dakota Watson.
Yes.
And I noticed Adam Hayward. They're playing. And is that a combination of the coaches trusting them more or stuff that they're showing in practice that the coaches say, okay, you know, we need to put these guys out there. And then the second question is, leading up to the San Francisco game, it's a West Coast game, do you change your practice regimen, your practice schedule, to accommodate and get these guys prepared? And I'll hang up a list. Thanks, Coach.
Yes, we'll talk about all that. You know, we had the two linebacker deal that you seen the other day was a combination of two different things. You know, we had, you know, Quincy Black, our starting Sam linebacker, you know, did not play this game. You know, had an ankle. So, so we set him out a little bit. But we had already started the process of really, you know, putting Dakota Watson with our rush a little bit, because he has a particular skill when it comes to rushing the quarterback and really turning and running and creating hustle plays. So I wanted to use him a little more there. As a combination of Quincy being out, and I wanted to use my two young players, you know, Haywood and also, you know, Dakota Watson, to both play Sam together and to get those guys out there that have different sets of skills and guys that deserve to play. And then I could still use them on special teams and get their best qualities there without tiring one in particular guy out. So that was the kind of thought process there. And they both came yesterday and played really well and played, you know, well above their heads and well above what anybody probably thought they would be able to do. They both played pretty good football and made some spectacular plays for us. So I was excited to see that. And along with changing the regiment for San Fran,
yes,
we do that in the West Coast when we go West Coast trips. And in order to get acclimated with where we're going, we leave a day early. So we'll leave on Friday this week. We'll get out there. We'll get the guys in town. We'll have a walk around at, you know, at hopefully some local college or somewhere we can get out there and get acclimated with, you know, how the weather is and how it's going to be and everything. Get in the hotel rooms and get settled in, and then get ready for our next day and go out there compete and use it as a business trip. So we do change our regimen up a little bit in practice, and we look forward to going out there in a short week.
Well done. We'll talk more about the 49ers in the final segment and going out there. Al is in Clearwater. He is next here with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Al.
Hey, how you doing there, guys? Hey, Coach, how are you doing today?
Al, I couldn't be better, man. Doing great.
Hey, I got some some feedback from a year ago from the owner of the Bucs, and I have a couple real quick questions for you. Last year at the Super Bowl, I was down in Miami, and after a long night, I was coming in, and guess what? I ran across right in the entrance of the Ritz-Carlton. He was coming in from a night out on the town. It was Ryan Glazer. So we started talking, and I said, hey, you know what you did with the coaching staff? You know, you blew it up and you built anew. And that's when everybody was giving him such a hard time and questioning who you were. And I told him, I said, you did the right thing. And you know what? You had to blow up the organization. And that guy you got, Raheem, he's going to be the solution. Look, here it is a year later, and you've turned the team around. And he was right in blowing up the organization, hiring you and Dominic. You guys have done a tremendous job. So congratulations on that, and that was feedback directly from the owner. Number two, you know, you hardly ever get to know coaches' personal life and their personality and things like that. You just talk football. So I was curious, a little offbeat question, who's your favorite band of all time, and what's your favorite song?
Music. Music, I like. Anything else, Al?
Yeah, do you know Steve Dumick?
I do, very well.
Is he big enough to play offensive line for the...
Are you taking shots at the big dog?
All right, favorite band and favorite song. Where do you want to go with that?
Well, I guess I answered the first question first, you know, talking about our vision and our plan. You know, he gave me too much credit right there. He talked about me. He talked about I and me turning around. And like I said at the press conference today, really, it's not me. It's the guys in this room. It's the guys on our football team. It's our coaching staff. It's everybody involved. It's everybody in this building and involved in one book. It's all the guys that handle the stadium. It's all the guys that handle how we travel, how we do everything about business. You know, I mention Kayleen all the time because she's her and Tim, they do a great job for us. And it's about our community relations with Murray Holmes and Alan Barrett and what they're able to do to put us out there in the community and put the Bucs back there. And it's the vision, it's the plan, it's building a lasting contender. And that's where it starts, and that's where it had to start last year. And hopefully we're starting to – our fruit's starting to bear a little bit early and do some good things. And as far as music – I grew up, I don't know if you would know any of the bands that I listened to. I don't want to say I was a big band guy, but
groups,
I was always a
groups.
You know, I was always a you know, I'm always been a rap and a.
Who's on the iPod right now? Give me a couple names.
I can show you, but
give me a couple names. Who's, you know, there? What
right
are you listening
now,
to in the car?
Right now, I'm really big in this Drake guy right now and Young Money right now. So I'm
Drake
listening to those guys.
And
right
Young
now.
Money. Forgive me, I'm not in the hip hop world, but yeah. Are Drake and Young Money up and comers? Are they all already established?
You know, you got to give him established right now. You know, he's got his album out. He's doing well, and he's really going nice. But I've always been a Jay-Z, you know, type of a guy. I've always, that was my intro music when I do talk to the big dog and all those things, and we kind of have fun with that. But, or a little Tupac, you know, I've had that interest music. But, you know, I've always been, you know, a hip-hop guy. You know, I've been a little R&B guy. But, I, you know, it's just kind of the stuff I do. And I guess that when you say favorite songs, You know, I don't know. I guess it had to be Moment of Clarity by Jay-Z. That's just kind of one of those songs that get you going before a game. And it just kind of, you know, now you put yourself in a song sometimes, and it's just sometimes I like to do that.
Well, you, I was going to say, will you listen to a song shortly before game time, kind of like players do sometimes?
You know, it's
every
all
once in a while?
Yeah, I do a lot. You know, I got, you know, the Glazers, you know, again, talking about the Glazers, they gave me this nice musical thing in my office where I can set my iPod up and get it going and get it going through my speakers a little bit while I'm looking at the game plan and try to get ready and get prepared and get focused. And when you put some of those songs on, some of the inspirational songs that you do hear, and every song has a different message, but sometimes you put your own message to songs and you kind of feel it in a different way, just like we all do about everything. So everything for me is with that, is dealing with focus, is dealing with getting ready for the game, getting ready for our next opponent. And sometimes just putting you in that mood, sometimes just putting you in that angry, hard, angry working mentality mood. And it's really good. And it's great. Just like seeing the fans when you're coming out the tunnel, you know, put you in that mood, and it puts all my, that's why I like to stop and sign autographs and take pictures with some of those guys over there, because it gets me focused. It lets me know that, hey man, this is an entertainment business and we got to go out here and entertain today.
Well, this has been an entertaining season. It was an entertaining day again yesterday too, especially with all the offense. All right. Time for a couple of more phone calls. 990-4620 in Hillsboro, 461-4620 in Pinellas, 1-800-596-BUCKS. And this is Mark in Tampa. This could be a fun one here, I'm being told. Hello, Mark. Good evening.
Hello, TJ. It's Coach Mark. Hello, Raheem, buddy. What's going on?
Is this my guy?
This is your guy, I think. Now tell him. Now tell him if you know.
This is my coach.
This is your coach from what, though?
Basketball.
He coached you in basketball when?
In Tampa, down here. We came down here and competed,
1989.
Man. 1989.
How old? Wait. How old were you? Because I know Mark used to work with young kids with basketball. So how old were you in 89? Not to, you know. Just
12. Yeah, 12 years old.
All right, so wait a minute. You're down here on a travel team from New Jersey.
We were a deal. You just ask Mark. He'll tell you. Mark, tell him. Tell him the year before. Well, actually, Mark was my second coach. The first year we did it, I did it in 88. And I did it with, it was NERC A team. And we were the all-star team. And we kind of got together and we went to Puerto Rico. And then the following year, I came back, didn't have a team, tried out with Mark. Really learned a lot. Learned a lot about coaching really as well. He made us watch, Bobby Knight videos. I remember that, Mark. And he made us watch, you know, and he always used to he'd say, you know, they would have the videos and they say, this is a good shot. And it'd be a 20-footer from outside. And he'd go, that's a good shot in the pros. You guys shoot layups. And we watched these tapes, and I'll never forget that. And I remember watching these tapes with Coach, and then coming down here, and we would execute the motion offense. And we would go through – I still know the motion offense. I could go run the motion offense right now.
How about this? What Mark wants to know, did he instill anything in you from a coaching standpoint? Because I know Mark going back years, but did he instill anything in a coaching vein? Because Mark is living vicariously right now through you here on this. What about that?
Well, there's no doubt about that, man. I just can tell you that example about the videos. I'm sure I never told Mark that, you know. But I remember that. I was 12 years old, and I remember him showing these coaching videos, and I remember being, you know, I know I was. I was locked in detail and listening to what he was saying because I knew it would help me. And then everything he would do as far as, you know, how we practice, how we work, we prided ourselves on being a hardworking young bunch of guys. And I think we were. You know, I remember doing the suicides and running around at gym. And that was before anybody knew about hydration concerns. And I appreciate him so much, and I hope he knows that.
Hey, Mark, this has got to be a thrill here.
Well, I do know that. And also, Raheem had asthma back then.
Still got asthma. What you talking about back then? Terrible.
And I still made him
so
run.
All right. So now, Mark, you got to be careful here. Walk the fine line. What kind of player was Raheem? Did Raheem have a future in hoops, or did he make the right decision going the football route? What's the story?
He was probably one of the smartest players I ever had, because you only had to tell him once. He was very detailed, and he had a killer. He had a football instinct, so he was going to probably be best to go towards football, because as far as the shot goes, sorry, Coach.
didn't have the jumper.
I was never a jump shooter. You know, but right. the thing with Mark is that we talk about with the football instinct and all those things. It was we were an all-star team now, so I had to be pretty good to be the 12
year old
all-star.
You could defend.
I was a defender all the way.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I could score. I just couldn't shoot a jump shot.
Yes. We came down here and we lost to the champs by a point.
We lost to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, well,
Puerto Rican team, wasn't it?
And believe me when I tell you, I have known Coach Mark calling me on the radio back 17, 18 years ago, working with young kids with basketball, youth leagues, AAU, whatnot. This is a hardcore basketball fan, and who knew, Mark, that you would be coaching a guy that would later be the head coach of the Buccaneers, and here we all are on a radio show.
I
had no idea until he popped up, but way back as a defensive quality control, yep. And reached out, said hi, but I knew, you know, everybody was keeping an eye on him because of his, again, his intensity and his attention to detail. And he's
cool
showing that now with, the, you know, even in the winning, he's keeping on him about the mistakes, which is what you have to do to be successful.
Coach Mark.
Mark held a race to 10 years old, man. He was...
with all the kids, with the youth basketball. Hey, Mark, a thrill to have you call up here. Thank you. We'll see you
Take
later.
Care. Take care, guys.
Talk now, to you, that's a fun blast from the past there, going back to 1989 and travel basketball.
You know, I get to see Mark a little bit. You know, every once in a while he comes to, you know, training camp, or he comes to, you know, hang out with my dad, and or every once in a while he comes to a game and I get to see him on the sideline. I don't get to spend much time with him, you know, but – You know, this is your life on the Raheem Morris radio show.
And it's mine, too, because I swear to you, he was calling me on the radio 17, 18 years ago, back in the early 90s, right after he coached you. He's been breaking down college basketball in the NCAA tournament with me long ago, so
well,
we love that.
I think he's been a great, you know, basketball mind, you know, just a coaching mind for a long time. And, you know, it's, you know, you never forget that type of stuff. And, you know, I wish he could be in it full time, to be honest with you.
That's cool. All right, Keir is in Brandon. Keir, you're on with the coach. Real quick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Coach?
Hey, Keir. How you doing? You got a little echo behind you.
Go ahead, Keir.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. First of all, I just wanted to actually just keep some praise from all the diehard Bucks fans like myself to watch the maturation of the team and you as a head coach. It's just amazing. Like each and every week to see what you're able to do with these rookie players. I guess really my only question is, what is it that you're telling these guys? I mean, obviously within what you can say on the radio – what is it that you tell these rookies that make them go out and play so well?
Well, I think it started, you know, a while ago. You know, I got criticism, or I got, you know, it being a brash statement. But I tell these guys that they can go out and be the best. You know, no different than what you tell your kids, no different than what you tell your children, and they believe in me, and they're going out and they're playing that way, and they're playing hard, and they're playing unselfish, and they're playing patient. They got a perspective. They're praising each other. And really, they're playing wise beyond their years. You know, the situation of football things these guys have, and they've really picked up in the offseason and throughout the process, it's been great. And I just want to say thank you.
Hey, belief is such a big thing, and we've been talking about that all year long. This team plays like it believes. It plays like it believes it's still in the game when it's behind. You don't keep winning games in the fourth quarter, young or not, if you don't believe. And this team clearly has responded to that.
I keep telling these guys, man, somebody – has to finish number one. Somebody has to hold up Tiffany. You know, I heard about Mike Tomlin doing it. I heard about Peyton doing it. Why not us? Somebody has to be number one. Why not us?
Keep going that way. Do we have time real quick to talk to Todd in Spring Hill? Todd in Spring Hill, we got 30 seconds, sir. Go ahead. You're on with the coach.
Hey, what's going on, Coach?
How you doing, Todd?
Pretty good. No, it's Tom, by the way. Sorry
Tom,
about that.
Go ahead, quick.
All right, hey, listen, I'm going to make it quick. Congratulations on the big win yesterday. It was really great seeing us getting back to shape and form again. Listen, I got a question real quick. How do you know, like, decision, like, during a game of which halfback to use and what situation? I'm going to hang up with you. I'll let you answer that for me.
Cool.
You guys have a great night.
All right.
Tom, that's a part of practice and what you do and how you do it. You know, right now, you know, without giving away game plans every week, you know, LeGarrette Blount has become a primary runner for us on first and second down and, you know, sometimes on third, depending on the situation of the game of the football. And then also we have Cadillac who comes out there for protection and third down runs. And Ashley can go out there and first down and execute the whole game plan. And then you have – when you have Ernest and you got the whole, you know, plethora of backs, you got Ernest Graham who does some of your stuff from fullback, was able to go out there and some of your change open package and split back things from practice and go through the situational game plans of what you want to do and how you want to do it. You know, and sometimes you get a hot back and he comes out and you just want to feed him the ball. And that's what you do. And right now we've been able to go out and execute game plans and go out and have success and have fun. And yesterday, you know, really had a breakout day, having 186 yards rushing and two runners really be productive. And that's always sweet to see when you're the coach.
All right, 6-3 is sweet as well. And now this team will try to get back on the winning track on the road, one of the best road teams in the NFL. We'll talk San Francisco 49ers in our remaining moments when we come back with the head coach, Raheem Morris, on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Morris Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
We will be talking San Francisco 49ers in just a second. One plug coming up right after we're done. Buccaneers Total Access right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Cadillac Williams will sit with us I think we might have some fun talking to Caddy tonight after a victory 31-16 over the Carolina Panthers. All right, 49ers are the opponent. You've already alluded to going out to the West Coast on Friday. You've had success the last couple of times venturing west, winning late in the year last year in Seattle, winning in Arizona. Now you get ready to go play a 49er team that won in overtime yesterday over the Rams. What jumps out when you look at them?
Yeah, you feel pretty confident going out to the West Coast with the plan and how we've been able to execute it because of some of the guys that we have and some of the guys that we understand it as a business trip and how we want to take our approach. But we do have our hands full. You know, they have, a couple really good football players there. You know, they got the two young guys that we know about, Anthony Davis and Mike Iupati, as their first rounds this year. But, over the years, they've been accumulating some really good players with Michael Crabtree, their quarterback.
Frank Gore,
who's been there for a little bit. And, came out with Caddy. And some of the guys that we know about, Troy Smith is, I'm assuming, going to be the starting quarterback. And he's going out and done a really good job of, executing their offense. I knew him really well from coaching against him in the Senior Bowl. So that should be a lot of fun and really challenging. And on the defense side of the ball, arguably, one of the better middle linebackers in the game, and Patrick Willis, Tekeo Spikes, was a big-time vet. And you remember him from his days in Cincinnati and throughout the process, wherever he's been productive and been, hard-nosed. And Justin Smith, who was a priority free agent a couple years ago, and he's playing well and doing some really good things. And Nate Clements, another priority free agent that they were able to get and acquire. And Taylor Mays, a big-time safety that ran very fast in the combine this year and is playing really well for him. And Deshaun Golston, who my DB coach knows very well, Jimmy Lake, because he coached him in college. And now he's moved to safety, and he's playing physical, hard, tough, and rapidly becoming one of the my favorite players to watch on tape. And they present a lot of challenges. And we look forward to going out there and standing up.
They started off the season at 1-6, went all the way to England, rallied and beat Denver, took a week off, had to rally and beat the Rams. The phrase is going to get kicked around this week that they are a desperate team trying to hang on in their division. You got to go play them no matter what condition they're in. But, just talk about that angle.
I wouldn't say that they're desperate. We've been there before. We did it last year. We got a couple soldiers around here that was with us last year with Cadillac and some of the guys you're going to talk to in a minute. And they understand the process and what you got to go through. And they went through it a little bit early, and now they're starting to fight their way through it. And you better believe they're not going to lay down for anybody. Their coach is a mentally tough dude. He played in this league for years. He's a guy that we know about and plays the game the correct way. And we got to go out there and be ready to stand up versus whatever they're ready to deliver.
All right, so it's an opportunity to go out and get another road victory, setting up the stretch run. I mean, you've been on the road a bunch. You're going to be on the road for two more games, but then you get some of them at home. But now you got to buckle it up and get ready to go to San Francisco on Friday, right?
We always talk about the next game because it's the most important, and we're ready to go play San Fran. That's the bottom line.
Coach, good luck. Thank you for sitting down with us here on this Monday night. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you in the pregame show from San Francisco on Sunday, sir.
Now you guys got Caddy next, man. You should be excited.
We are excited. We look forward to that, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night.
Ask them about the stretch lines.
We'll talk to him about the stretch. I'll make a note. Stretch lines. We'll talk about that tonight, among other things. All right. Thank you, Coach. That'll do it here for us tonight. My thanks to Jeff Ryan and also to Jerry Petuck for helping out here this evening. Bucks in San Francisco, Sunday, 4 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 3 o'clock with the network pregame coverage. And we'll be back next Monday night with the head coach, Raheem Morris, show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.